You glad of that? Amen. He knows our name. Praise the Lord. And I thank God that He is for us. He has our best interests in mind. Amen. And that's something we can always rest in, something we can always trust in. You know, God, He's not just waiting for, you know, just for the right opportunity just to strike. He's not waiting just to lower the hammer and judge us and people. He's a God of mercy. He's for us. And it's us that's walked out on Him, not the other way around. He walked out on us. Amen. He's been nothing but good to us. And amidst all the things that are going on in this great big wide world, He knows your name. He knows my name. He knows right where we are. And what little value we are to this world. We are something to God. Amen. He does care. He's concerned. He is for us, and I thank God for that. And that's better to know in these last days than it ever has been, I guess. Amen. And I was telling Brother Ernest, we were on the street Friday afternoon, and you think about all the turmoil of the world, and you know Paul said that in this life only we have hope, we're of all men most miserable. And could you imagine living lost without God in this world, the way things are now, with so much turmoil and uncertainty? See, there's not turmoil and uncertainty on the inside of us. It's all around us, but it's not on the inside of us. We've got peace, and it's not uncertainty, you know, to us. There are things that are uncertain that we don't know exactly the specifics of how they're going to play out. But in the grand scheme of things, we know what's going to happen. We know what's going to happen. Things aren't falling apart. They're falling into place. Amen. And Jesus is getting ready and getting ready to come for us. And everything is getting right, getting lined up. Amen. And so there's not uncertainty and turmoil on us, but this lost world, it's not just around them. It's inside of them. It's inside of them too. And I couldn't imagine living in these days the way things are. Lost without God. Amen. But knowing that He cares for me, He knows right where I am. He's leading, He's guiding, and even the bad things, what we'd consider bad things that come into our life, they are working for my good, and they're working for your good, and for His glory, amen. And by the way, not just for His glory, they're for your good, too. They're for your good, amen. And God isn't just sacrificing us so He can get glory. No, He's doing good in us and for us, amen. And so, thank God for it. Praise the Lord. All right. Turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to start off in Daniel chapter 6 this morning. And kind of look at two very notable Old Testament characters, or some notable Old Testament characters, people that we all will be very familiar with this morning. And but I want to give you a thought, preach to you a message the Lord's put on our heart this morning. I'm not asking you to stand because I've got quite a bit of I've got some introductory things I want to say and some things I want to give you this morning, and then we'll kind of look at some scripture. And this may be a little different than the way normally preach, normal type message, but I do believe that it is what the Lord would have us to preach and deal with this morning, and do pray that it would be a blessing and help to us. But something that probably it has been it's been present in man since man was created, since the beginning. Well, since the fall of man. Let me say that. Since the fall of man. There's something that's been present in the life of man, but as we draw closer to the end of time and the coming of the Lord, it's getting more and more prevalent in man, in the heart of man, in the life of man, and then in society in general, and then in the world in general. And that thing that I am talking about is fear. Fear. Since the fall of man, man has had fear as a part of his life. Now, God never, I don't believe, planned on it to be that way. I don't think God designed this world for man to have fear as a part of his life. But because man disobeyed God and sin came into life, sin also brought fear. That's one of the first responses you see to sin in the life of man is fear. Man hid himself from God. Now, why would man hide himself? He hid himself because Adam flat out said, I was afraid. You never see, best I can tell, you never see fear in man. You never see fear mentioned in the Bible until sin entered into the world, entered into the life of man. And since then, for the past, roughly 6,000 years of human history, fear has been a major part of the life of mankind and in human beings. I want to say this, though, that even though fear maybe was not God's original plan, since the fall and since the curse, there is a degree of fear that is good. And it is healthy and it is right. God, as a result of sin, see, fear really in one sense is God's grace and mercy to a degree, because fear is good and right and healthy and God-given in our lives from a natural perspective. I'll never train my children to not be afraid of anything as long as there's roads with cars speeding up and down them, and as long as there's rattlesnakes, and as long as there's deadly spiders, and as long as there's bad people and burglars. I'll never tell my children not be afraid of anything. Amen. Because there's a healthy amount of fear that we ought to have for the certain things in this world, and there's a healthy amount of fear we ought to have for God, a respectful, reverential fear, and man in his sin ought to fear God. Amen? And so fear is good. It is right. It is healthy. It is God-given in many ways, and there's nobody that really truly has no fear unless they're messed up in the head. Amen. Now, there's only thing any natural person that is right and level-headed, they have a degree of fear and fear certain things. Amen. I remember hearing a preacher talk about these stickers. You see on these big jacked-up trucks, and you see the sticker that says "No Fear." And he said every time he sees that, he just laughs to himself because he thinks about that goofball driving that truck and that sticker that says "No Fear." He said, "You let an angry wasp get loose in that truck, and you'll see how no fear he's got." Amen. Ain't that right? We've all got a fear, and fear is good and it's healthy. But I want to say this: the spirit of fear will destroy you. There's a healthy amount of fear that we should and do have in all of our lives, but the spirit of fear will consume and destroy you and will destroy a man. It's one of the biggest means, fear is one of the biggest means of control, especially in these last days. The mainstream media uses fear. The government uses fear. Even religion, even in the realm of religion, you will see fear used to control people and to even manipulate people. Now, that's not always wrong, because a man preaches a message on hell that should strike fear into the heart of a lost person and cause them to make a move towards God, consider their life because of the fear. Fear is a tremendous motivator. But in these last days, it is one of the biggest means of control that we see. Everyone is so scared to death of all the things going on in the world because of fear. Because of the fear that's put in their heart. Fear will totally dominate a person or a society if you allow it to. It's one of the hallmarks of the life of the lost. Fear is. He said in Revelation 21, verse 8, that the fearful shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. The fearful. Now, of all the people that are going to die lost without God and go into the lake of fire, the fearful? Really? Well, he says the fearful because they are. That is a hallmark of the life of the lost. He said they'll have their part which in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And so that is one of the marks of the life of the lost. Now, I will say this in regards to the life of the lost, that fear is a mark of their life as long as the Spirit of God is striving with them. Someone that loses all fear of God and loses all fear of eternity, that's a good sign that the Spirit of God stopped dealing with that person. Amen. Because I believe this, if the Holy Spirit ever starts dealing with someone, they won't be scared of hell anymore. They won't be scared of eternity anymore. They won't be scared of the things of God anymore. And really, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a losing of the fear of God in our day.
And so it's a mark. But, you know, God's people, those of us that are saved, we are not to be dominated by fear. We are to be bold and courageous and steadfast and full of faith in the face of fear. Not that we don't ever get a little fearful. Not that the devil in our flesh doesn't get a hold of our heart and cause some fear. We are still to stand and be strong and firm and full of faith in the face of fear. We're not to be dominated by fear. We as God's people are to dominate fear. It's to be dominated by us, amen, by the Spirit of Christ that is in us, amen. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:17, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, amen. Fear will cause you to lose your mind. People will do crazy things as a result of the fear in their heart. My word, we're seeing that now, man. People wearing 2 and 3 and 4 masks and not leaving their house, and churches still not having church services. Man, that is crazy. That is ludicrousy. Stadiums last night filled with people shoulder to shoulder and no mask and all those things. Yet they're firing people at those same universities for not getting their vaccine. Ludicrousy. It makes no sense. I'm simply saying, you know what does that in people's life is fear. Fear will make you do things that you never thought you'd do when you're in your sound mind. You can literally get intoxicated by fear and do things that you never thought you'd ever do. But fear will do that to people. I tell you, I've seen people get out of church in the past year and a half that I never thought would ever get out of church. I've seen people quit and drop it all, quit serving God completely, that I never thought would ever stop serving God. You know what did it? Fear. Fear got in there. You say, but you think they're saved? I don't know if they're saved or not. That's between them and God. But I know that fear will make you do crazy things. But God did not give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of love, of power and of love and of a sound mind. A sound mind. Amen. Now, you all maybe know the story or have heard of the great missionary Jim Elliot. Great man of God. He is the one who made the famous statement, the famous quote, "He is no fool who would give up what he cannot keep to obtain that which he cannot lose." Jim Elliot said that. And in 1949, he graduated from Wheaton College and was unsure what he was going to do after graduating. Now, that summer, he spent that summer praying for guidance and seeking God for what to do next with his life. And he got a letter in that whole process from Ecuador dealing with the great need there in Ecuador. On July 4th, Jim Elliot set aside 10 days for prayer, and on the 14th, 4 days later, he wrote in his journal, he said, "I asked for some word from God 10 days ago, which would encourage my going to Ecuador. It came this morning in an unexpected way. I was reading in Exodus 23 when verse 20 came out vividly. It says, 'Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared.'" This confirmed in Jim Elliot's heart God's desire of what he wanted to lead him and guide him to do, and that was to go to Ecuador. God settled it in that verse for him. But this verse that God used to settle in his heart what he was to have him to do not only sent him to Ecuador, but it actually sent him to his death and to his glory. This word gave Jim guidance to God's will, even though it ultimately would lead to his death. Now, God led him, you maybe know the story, He led him and 4 other of his friends to one of the most violent groups of people on the face of the earth. And by the way, all 5 of these missionaries knew it too. They knew exactly where they were going. They knew exactly who they would be dealing with. They knew exactly how violent they were. And all these missionaries knew exactly where they were going. It took him to the Aka Indians. And in God's timing, it took the Aka Indians to salvation. Amen? In fact, talking about them knowing how violent this group of Indians was, it wasn't long before they went that Shell Oil Company had to actually halt construction on one of its bases there in that area, base known as Shell Mare, because the construction workers building that base were being speared by the natives in spearing raids. So they had to stop construction because these Indians kept coming in and attacking them. Now these missionaries, when they went, they had guns. They took guns for protection, but they agreed amongst themselves not to use them if they were attacked. One of them said and wrote, they said, "They are not ready for heaven, but we are." And so they band together and they got together and said, "If they attack us, we're not going to use them. We're not going to shoot and kill these people." They said, "We're the ones ready for heaven. They're not." Amen. And that's the way we all really ought to think in a lot of ways is, I mean, what's the worst that could happen to any of us? We die and go to heaven. You know what I mean? Is that really the worst that could happen to all of us, is that we die and go to heaven? Now, the efforts to reach these Indians as a result to it all, all five, Jim Elliot and all four of his friends, all five of them were all massacred by the very people they were trying to reach. However, in their death, God was greatly glorified. Matter of fact, down the road, it opened the door for all of their wives and even their children to be able to enter into those same villages they were trying to get into, get those people the gospel, and those people be reached and saved by the grace of God. The wives and the children of these men that were killed by these people were later able to go in and give them the gospel, and they were able to get saved. All of them, including their wives and their children, all five missionaries, their wives, their children, all of them, what they had to overcome was they had to overcome the fear of death. They went knowing they were going to a very brutal group of people. They went knowing that they were going into a situation that was almost an impossible situation. Unless God intervened, they knew it would turn out really bad. They went into it knowing that. But what they did was, though they probably went into it and there were some fear there, there were some fears, there was some concerns, they went into it and they overcame because God told them where to go and God told them what to do. They faced that fear with courage and boldness and faith, and they went anyways, trusting God. Amen. Now, all of them overcame that fear. And that's what I want to deal with this morning for just a few minutes. The fear of death. The fear of death. Now, those of us that are saved, we could say, "Well, I'm not afraid to die." But sometimes the truth is that does get into our heart. That's what this whole coronavirus thing is all about. People are so scared to death, they're going to get it and they're going to die. But you know, as God's people, we can overcome the fear of death, and we should overcome the fear of death. Otherwise, fear, whether it be of death or of any fear, will control us, and we will not be what God wants us to be for His glory. You know, the whole world is watching in these days, and what they're seeing is a miserable failure on the part of most churches now. When the church should be rising up with courage and boldness and full of faith, they're seeing the church bow down just like everybody else is bowed down to this big golden image. Amen. And so I'm not saying be reckless and negligent, but we are not to be full of fear, especially the fear of death. Matter of fact, the Bible says, precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of His saints. Death is victorious for us. Death is a wonderful thing for God's people. Amen? It's a great thing. Somehow we've forgotten that in these last days, though. I don't know. But death terrifies people. One man said, "I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens." Amen. Now, some are too preoccupied to even think about death. One man said, "I can't die. I'm too busy. Too much going on to die," right? Sometimes I feel that way. Man, I can't die today. I got too much to do. Some people, they think they're prepared and ready to die. They think they are. You know what Winston Churchill said? He said, I'm ready to meet my maker. Whether my maker is prepared for the ordeal of meeting me is another matter. Some people think they're prepared and think they're ready. I don't know if he was or not. With that attitude, I kind of don't think he was. Amen. You know what death does, or the fear of death, it causes us to fear a loss of control in our lives. The fear of death causes us to fear the unknown and the mysterious aspects of it that we don't know. Death causes us to fear the loved ones who are left behind. Makes you think, well, what's going to happen to them if something happens to me? That's a legitimate thing. Death causes us to fear the process of dying. In other words, will it be quick or will it be slow? Will I suffer? Will I be in great pain? We all can dream up terrible ways that we can think of. It'd be an awful way to die. And though death causes us to fear, can cause us to fear those different things, those different aspects of it. Now, death causes many fears, and it causes fears in the heart of man, which is why God addresses the issue of fear so much in the Bible. You know, fear is dealt with a lot of times in the Scriptures. Matter of fact, Jesus said many times in the Gospels, be not afraid. He asked the question a few times, why are ye so fearful? Jesus dealt with fear, and He taught about fear and talked about fear while He was here. God, all through the Word of God, He deals with the thing of fear. I'll say that fear is a very real thing in our lives. And if we are not what we need to be for God and where we need to be for God and doing what God wants us to do, we will too get gripped by fear. And fear will be detrimental in our life. Now, going to look this morning at people in the Bible, just a few people in the Bible, who overcame specifically this thing of the fear of death. Now, there's a lot of fears out there, a lot of things that people are afraid of, but the things that people are afraid of generally stem from their fear of death. They're afraid of this thing because they're afraid that it might kill them or it might cause them to die. People are afraid of the dark. It's not the dark they're afraid of. They're afraid of what's in the dark that they can't see because they're afraid that thing might cause them to die. Isn't that right? Listen, I'm afraid of swimming in really deep, dark, scary water, not because it's the water that scares me, but what's down there that might get me that scares me. Amen? Am I the only one? I mean, you with me? There's big old sharks out there. You know what I'm saying? I mean, people aren't afraid of spiders. I mean, they're afraid of the creepy crawling all that stuff, but they're afraid of what that spider will do to them. Afraid of what that snake will do to them. They're afraid of that speeding vehicle because of what it will do, because it might cause them to die. People are so scared of coronavirus because they're afraid that virus will cause them to die. Amen. And I'm not saying that all those fears are illegitimate, but I am saying that the fear of death will get to the point where it will overcome you and you will be frozen with fear when that is not God's desire for us. God desires for us to be bold and courageous and have a sound mind in the face of fear. When the whole world is losing its mind and doing very silly things because they're so afraid of what's going to happen, it ought to be God's people, of all people, who are grounded and and have a good foundation and have a very sound mind in the face of what's going on. Because here's the thing, people can try to live forever all they want to, but if coronavirus don't get them, something else will. Nobody's going to live forever. Amen? You better, not that we'll never be afraid of death, but you better at least get comfortable with the idea of death. You better get ready for death because it is sure going to happen. There are a lot of things that there's a certain percentage, some low percentage, some high percentage of whether or not it will ever happen to you. But when it comes to death, there is a 100% chance that it will happen if Jesus don't come. Amen? And so, the fear of death. Let's look at just a couple people in the Scriptures, both of these groups of people you'll be very familiar with. Let's see how they, what they did, how they faced death with courage and boldness, and we can gather some things from their lives, and it will help us as well in these days. First of all, I want to say regarding the fear of death, that the fear of death specifically, it is overcome by devotion and dedication to the Lord. A lot of church people in the past year and a half have been so gripped with fear and are so filled with turmoil because they simply are not as devoted and as dedicated to the Lord as they need to be. Now, they may have been at every service that the church doors were open before last year started, but being at church doesn't necessarily show how dedicated you are to the Lord. Let me just say that. Just simply being faithful and just simply, you know, doing what you're required to do is not necessarily the greatest gauge of dedication and devotion, because lost people do that stuff. I mean, there's lost people out there that are faithful to every service. There's lost people out there that are faithful to do some of the things that you know, church people do, or Christian, so-called Christian people do. And so that's not necessarily always the gauge. The gauge is what you do when the heat is on. The gauge is what you do, how you respond when there's turmoil and whenever the world turns against us and whenever the devil turns the heat up on us. That is the gauge of how dedicated and devoted you and I really are to God. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. See, those who are deeply devoted to God would rather die than to betray or disappoint the Lord. Someone who's not really dedicated, someone who's not really devoted, well, they'll go the path of least resistance. They'll go whichever way is easiest. They'll go whichever way prolongs their life and prolongs their lifestyle. But someone who's deeply dedicated and devoted to the Lord and devoted to the Word of God and believes this Bible and believes Jesus and loves the Lord, they will do whatever they've got to do to keep from disappointing Him, to keep from denying Him, to keep from betraying Him, because they just can't do it. They're too dedicated. Would be a good example, a man by the name of Polycarp. That was his attitude. Polycarp lived in the AD 65 through AD 90, somewhere around in there. He was a direct disciple, they say, of John, the Apostle John. He sat directly under the teachings of John. And he was the pastor of the church at Smyrna. And during his time as pastor, church became, you know, persecuted, and Rome turned against the church, and it was told to him, he was commanded that he was to be executed for his faith. He could either deny the Lord Jesus, or he could be burned alive. Whichever he chose is his choice. And his reply was this: when faced with burning at the stake, his reply was, 86 years I have served Him. Never once has He wronged me. How shall I blaspheme my King who saved me?" They tied Polycarp to the stake. They lit the fire. And those flames, they said, encircled him like an arch, but would not touch him. The flames, I don't know if it was a miraculous thing, I don't know if a miracle, I don't know. I'm just telling you what the story is. The flames would not touch him, would not consume him when they tied him to the stake and they said, lit him ablaze. Therefore, the executioner had to execute him with a sword, but the flames wouldn't touch him. He refused to deny Jesus because of his dedication. I don't know about you, but I feel like we're going to have a hard time trying to explain to a man like Polycarp why things got so bad in our days that we had to quit serving the Lord, and we had to stop going to church, and we had to quit going door to door, and we had to quit standing for Jesus in public, and why we had to quit doing all the things the church has always done, because things got so bad, because, man, that coronavirus was so bad, we had to stop everything. You're going to have a hard time explaining to Polycarp why you had to quit after all the things that he went through. That's exactly right. You're getting ahead of me, brother. We're going to have a hard time explaining to these people, but you know what causes people to quit is fear. Fear But fear is overcome by devotion and dedication. That's really what I'm looking at this morning. How to overcome fear. One of the things that overcomes fear is dedication and devotion. Are you really as dedicated and devoted as you ought to be? The first man I want to look at this morning, Brother Ernest just mentioned him, is in Daniel chapter 6. Man by the name of Daniel. Now, Daniel is one of the few characters in the Bible that, as far as I know, the Word of God never records anything negative about Daniel. One of my favorite characters in the Bible. Boy, what a man of God Daniel was. But in Daniel chapter 6, we see him facing some very, very terrible odds. We see the odds stacked against Daniel. We see the government turning against Daniel and trying to shut down Daniel and the worship. Amen! We see the king and the government coming up with all kinds of decrees and mandates, if you will, that says you can't worship the way you've always worshiped. Well, what did Daniel do? Daniel just kept doing what he's always done in the face of fear and in the face of everything being against him. Daniel had boldness and courage because he was devoted and he was dedicated. Amen. First of all, the thing we see in Daniel chapter 6, if you look in verse number 7, we see the law. Look at the law. You know this story, so we're not going to read it all. We're just going to kind of jump through here. But if you look, it says in verse 7, all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now skip down to verse number 9. Says, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. What we have here is the law. The law was written that no one could pray. No one could worship God. No one could openly serve the Lord. No one could petition a god except for the king. What it was it was appealing to that king's pride that he's God, you know. You can't go to any god except for the king. The king's the only one that can grant all this stuff. And so he signed the petition. Ain't that right? And so we see the law. They said you cannot worship the way you used to worship. But then in verse number 10, we see the loyalty of Daniel. It says that now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and so he wasn't doing this oblivious. He didn't put his head in the sand and just go with blinders on like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Oh, no, he knew the writing was signed. Amen? And listen, just because we know what the government's saying, just because we know what they're meant, does not mean we have to do everything they say to do. Their authority stops at that door back there. Amen? They have no right to come in here. They have no authority in here. And by the way, they've got no authority over God in your life either. Amen? This Bible is what we stand on. Hallelujah. Amen. And we will not be intimidated. We will not be overcome by any fear that the media or the government or anybody else would try to put into our hearts. Amen. Not if we're dedicated enough. Not if we're devoted enough. Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He just carried on loyally. He did exactly what God told him to do and exactly what he'd always done. Amen? That law didn't intimidate Daniel. He just continued praising. He continued thanking God as he always had, even in the face of death. Then we see the lions in verse number 15. The Bible says, then these men assembled unto the king, said unto the king, now or know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Amen. And so we see the lions. Daniel was in fact cast into the den of lions. He kept doing what he always did loyally, and he faced the consequences of it. There may come a time here in America that if we're going to keep doing what we've always done loyally and be loyal to God, we will face the consequences of it. Amen. And it might mean death for some of us. And if not for us, it might mean that for our children or our grandchildren. Amen. The time can and will come. It came in Daniel's life. But then we see Daniel's life was protected in verse number 20. Look at what it said. It said, "And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest, continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God." Amen. Now we see Daniel faced with some bad circumstances, but he was loyal to God. And what we find is that God had the last say in the matter. And God decided that it was His will to protect Daniel. Amen. And by the way, God's still the same God today. And if He wants to protect us from anything that would come against us today, He still can if it's His will. Amen. So we see the life of Daniel was protected, but then we see the laudation of God, or the glorification of God, in verse number 25. It says, "Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you, that I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and in his dominion shall be even unto the end." Boy, God turned that whole thing around, because one man stood in the face of death. And because he rose up over fear and had courage and boldness and stayed with God in the face of fear and did what God commanded him to do, even though everything else was against him, God took that man and he delivered that man and he used that man and got glory in the whole situation, because a man simply stood and didn't allow himself to be controlled by fear. So God was glorified. His dedication brought glory to God. Next thing we see is Darius, this wicked king, is now declaring Daniel's God to be the living God, writing a decree and a command that the whole nation has to glorify God and turn to God. Daniel's God. Brother Ernest just said it. God will always get glorified glory when we stand. And so we see Daniel. He's one man that we see that God used and God delivered him, and he was bold and courageous in the face of fear, specifically the fear of death. Turn back to Daniel chapter 3. I want to look at some other men this morning very quickly. In Daniel chapter 3, you may know the story. We have three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In their lives, we see the command in chapter 3, verse number 4. It says, "Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that the Nebuchadnezzar had set up." Isn't it amazing how in both stories, you've got like all the princes, all the leaders, all the presidents, all the governors. They're all coming together to tell everybody else what they got to do. If that don't sound like 2021, I don't know what does. Get all the presidents, all the governors, all the kings, all the princes, all the professors at the colleges, and all the governors, all the mayors coming together, telling everybody what they got to do. Listen, man, this thing ain't no different than what it's ever always been. So we're facing the same stuff. Amen. Verse number 5. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at the time ye hear the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp, the sackbut and the psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up." So what they did was they required everybody to worship this golden image that they had erected of King Nebuchadnezzar. They said, whenever we tell you to, you do what we tell you to do. That's what we're doing now. When we tell you to quit going to church, you quit going to church. Because we said so. Because it's best for society. Let me just help you with something. The world, the flesh, and the devil has always felt it best for the church to shut down. They've always felt that it was best for society. They've always felt that. Amen. So we see the command. Then we see the crime and the consequences in verse 6. It says, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. So not worshiping means execution. It means death. If you don't do what we tell you to do, you're going to die. In 2021, if you don't do what we tell you to do, very good chance you're going to catch this thing and you're going to die. Ain't that right? But then we see a commitment to God in verse number 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So these men wouldn't worship the image. They wouldn't bow down. They said, we don't care what you tell us to do. You're not our God. Amen. And when they were faced with death and possibly even the fear of death in their heart, they rose to the occasion because they were dedicated and devoted unto their God. Then we see the conviction of the men and their confidence in God in verse number 16. It says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They said, now the king, you know the story, the king gave them another chance. They still would not bow. They overcame their fear of death because they believed that God could deliver them. Not that he would deliver them. They believed, they knew that God could deliver them, and their faith and their hope and their trust was in him. And they said, if God will, he will deliver us. But if not, just know, we're still not going to bow. Hey, that's it. That's faith. That is dedication. That is devotion. That is belief. That's trust. That is faith in the Lord. Then in verse 23, we see the care of God. Look at what it said. Verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast these three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Amen. Hey, they'd have never seen the fourth man if they hadn't gone into the fire. Amen. But God cared for them, and God delivered them from the fire, and God took care of them in the midst of the fire because they were dedicated, because they were devoted, because they cared not about their lives unto death. You know, no, the world, the flesh, the devil. None of them can control somebody that's not scared to die. The government cannot control a people that isn't scared to die. Amen. Listen, this world, they can't control us if we're not scared to die. If we're so devoted and we're so dedicated that we say, I'd give my life to the Lord. If I have to, I'll lay it down. We see the care of God. Then we see the commemoration for the Lord in verse number 28. It says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sword." Amen. Boy, God showed himself mighty to a king that had never seen it before. And that king said, "Ain't no God able to deliver like this God. There's a lot of gods out there. There's a lot of gods I'm serving. There's a lot of gods erected in this kingdom. But I've never seen any of them do what this God has done." Amen. And so God got glory. God got honor. God made himself known to the world because these men were dedicated and devoted enough to not fear death. Amen. Now, all these men, no doubt, had some degree of fear in their heart. There's always at least some degree of fear. But their dedication just simply overcame that fear. Their faith overcame that fear. Their trust in the Lord, it overcame that fear. And they faced the fear with courage and with boldness. And I've always thought it was very interesting that a lot of people would no doubt claim they would be willing to die for the cause of Christ when they're not even dedicated and devoted enough to live for the cause of Christ. Listen, when the chips are down, whenever it all comes down to it, and there's the cold blade of a sword or the cold steel of a knife against your neck, you're not going to be dedicated enough to die for him if you're not dedicated enough to live for him. When you're staring down the barrel of a gun and it's deny Christ or die, you're not going to stand for him and you're not going to die for him in that moment if you're not living for him now. See, the only thing that overcomes fear, or one of the things that overcomes fear, is devotion and dedication. And that's what we see in these men. They were dedicated to the cause of Christ. They were dedicated to their God and the word of their God. Now, many are full of fear because they're just simply not dedicated enough. And that's the question this morning. Not just about coronavirus. I know that's mentioned a lot because of that's where we are right now, but not just because of coronavirus and not just because of this other stuff. But I'm telling you, moving forward, the devil's going to turn the heat up on us. This isn't the end of it. This isn't the last of it. And when this is all gone, this is all passive, there's going to be something else to scare everybody to death. And so the question is, are you dedicated enough? Are you as dedicated and devoted as you should be? That's the only thing that's going to overcome fear in the days ahead. Now, I'll say this, make an appeal to the lost this morning, that if you're here this morning, you're lost. You need to be afraid. Fear gets in the heart of saved people needlessly. It doesn't need to, but if you're here this morning, you're lost. You do need to be afraid. You've got something to fear. You have a good reason to fear. And God may use a message like this to show you your need, the fear that you live in. And so the call is to repent and believe the gospel. You don't have to live and die in fear. But those of us that are saved, are we as dedicated and devoted as we should be? These are days of fear. And what's going to dominate fear is going to be dedication, devotion to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace. I thank you for helping us with the message this morning. I pray that you'll take it and use it. I pray that you touch our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be full of faith. Help us to be dedicated to you in these last days. I pray that you'd touch that heart of that one here that might be lost. Lord, I pray that you'd show them lost condition. Help them, Lord, to come to the place where they'd repent and believe the gospel, not live their life in fear. I pray that you just work in our hearts, have your perfect will and way, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.